let's call that week one 2.0 for Ohio State. And if that was more than a scrimmage, but not quite Texas, I still think Ohio State got everything it possibly could have wanted out of Saturday at the Horseshoe. Welcome back to The Beat, the Austin and Berm show. It is not Berm. It is a Boren Blitz as we break down a Buckeyes dominant victory, 70-0 over Grambling on Saturday in the Horseshoe. And Zach, I mean, we knew that this was never a talent-equated game. It was never going to be the toughest test. But as you start this post-Texas ramp-up for the Buckeyes, got a lot of guys involved. You executed at a high level. Pretty clean game. You know, Ryan Day probably going to be pretty satisfied with that, even if by Tuesday he's going to say there's a list a mile long still for the Buckeyes to get corrected here.
So many things to be positive of. I think the two things is, obviously, you got to see this offense be explosive and spread things out and get Julian Sain some reps in game-like situations. And number two is, Austin, that no one's talking about, you come out clean, at least to our knowledge, clean of no injuries, right? Like, right. That was, I'm sure, a big thing with this coaching staff, making sure guys take care of business, get guys, second and third string guys, game-like reps. All of that was able to happen. So a huge positive from Saturday.
We'll get into a lot of those guys, especially that we saw in the second half, and maybe one that we saw late in the first half, probably going to get you a little excited to talk about Riley Pettijohn. But as we sat here last Monday and broke down Texas and Julian Sain's debut, the conversation was, all right, Ryan Day, Brian Hartline, they can put more on his plate. They definitely did that. What stood out to you about this, I don't know, learning process, growth process, development of Julian Sain from week one to week two?
Yeah, I think everything that Ryan talked about in training camp of why he won the starting job, of getting the ball out quick, having an understanding of the offense, the quick release, like all of those things showed their face on Saturday. And I think that's what Ryan Day should be so excited about, because Julian Sain, doesn't matter if it's Grambling or Texas, for him to be able to read the defense, find the open receiver, have the quick release, put the ball in the proper position. I mean, through 2 weeks, besides the interception down at the goal line on Saturday, he's been spot on with his ball placement. I mean, we talked right about it against Texas. I don't think he missed a target against Texas from a ball placement standpoint. And he was, what, 16-16 before the interception came on Saturday? So when you talk about ball placement, accuracy, doing what he needs to do with the football, I mean, I hate to say it, and I don't want to put pressure on the guy, but the guy has been almost perfect through 2 weeks, which is extremely hard. It's hard to do that on air on a Thursday practice, let alone in two games.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing that we raved about going back to last year, was if you were just watching Ohio State practice on air, if it was 7-on-7 or some of those 1-inch throws over the net, like the arm talent from Julian Sain has never been in question. And it was dazzling to watch him do some of that stuff. It was Ryan Day talking about command of the huddle and controlling the locker room and getting to the line of scrimmage. And it feels like, over the last now 4 weeks, since he was named the starting quarterback, then you had 2 weeks to prepare for Texas, a week of practice after that to get ready to Grambling. It really feels like the confidence is growing around Julian Sain. And I think the way that Julian Sain is carrying himself, we've seen him after, you know, both of these games and talked to him briefly on the notebook, it feels like that validation on the field and from the coaching staff and from the rest of the Buckeyes around him is leading to a surge in self-confidence for him. And maybe that was never lacking, but it just feels like when you watch him, Zach, and you were down there in the shoe on Saturday, like there's a level of swagger that seems to be coming out that maybe didn't exist like prior to being officially named the starter. Or maybe I'm reading too much into that, but that's the way I've been seeing it.
Yeah, you want to know something? I even think you can see a lot by just the way he handles the media in response, right? I think you saw early on in camp when he was behind the camera and reporters would ask him questions, the way that he would answer questions were maybe a little short, maybe a little hesitant, trying to always say the right thing. You can see him over the last 2 weeks, once he gets in front of that camera after a game, he really almost relaxes. He gives kind of more swagger answers, right? He kind of knows what to say more and more. He's like acting like that Ohio State quarterback that we've seen over the past couple of years. And it's so much of this has to do with the confidence that you obviously see him building on. You see him building with the offense, right? And when you're a quarterback and you're starting to kind of feel that rhythm, the entire unit around you feels it. So when you get into the huddle, right, like the offensive line, the wide receivers are going to look at you a little bit differently than maybe they did beginning of camp. When you go in there and you say, hey, this is the play we're running, right? And you call the play and you get to the line of scrimmage. When you have that confidence, you're starting to ID safeties quicker, linebackers quicker. You're able to see, okay, listen, I got confidence. I know where this ball is going before the ball's even snapped. And you're starting to see that more and more. And he's only going to build on it as the year goes on, as he's getting more game-like reps.
It felt like he was able to adjust pretty quickly on Saturday, too. It's like, oh, Grambling decided not to cover the best wide receiver in America. I guess I'll just casually uncork this 87-yard touchdown.
Yeah, you want to know something? I even think there were a couple times where I'm watching the game and I'm like, they're playing man-to-man on Jeremiah. They're playing man-to-man on Carnell Tate. Like I don't want to call it a normal game, but in a game against a Big Ten opponent or someone like that, like they're going to check to a fade all day long, right? They're going to let those wide receivers go. And you could have seen it on Saturday where Julian's like, well, damn, they got, you know, 9 guys in the box. I should just, you know, say, hey, Carnell, go deep, or hey, Jeremiah, go deep. Obviously, it didn't happen. They could have done it. But yeah, I mean, you just see the ball placement and the confidence that he's starting to build, especially with those two guys.
Well, I thought when I left on Saturday night, Zach, that, you know, Berman and I both gave credit to Grambling for like coming in and trying to win the game, like running a normal offensive scheme, normal. Yeah, they took chances man to man, as you mentioned, on JJ and Carnell, which is obviously not a great idea when you don't have the athletes. But we've seen a lot of teams come into the shoe and like, let's get this over with as fast as possible, make sure that check clears and get out of town. And that's why I think obviously across the board, the talent was never going to match up. But the reason I say, well, you can't just view this as purely a scrimmage or just like the easiest tune-up of all time. Like they were getting new looks, and I tend to put a little bit of stock, not, I don't want to go overboard with it, but like Grambling tried to win the game. So Ohio State was getting, I think, decent looks to at least work on some of this stuff to get ready for. Now we have to consider Ohio maybe a more legitimate test after what they did against West Virginia. And then we know at the end of the month that this Big Ten road stretch starting at Washington begins. So I'm going to put a little bit of stock in this.
No, I most definitely am too. And I think probably Ohio State would tell you they were surprised at how well Grambling tackled, especially in space. There were a couple times where I'm like, okay, James Peoples or CJ or Jeremiah or Carnell, they're going to break this. And they got tackled in a one-on-one situation, right? And you're like, oh, wow, maybe not, right? And there were times that I thought the Grambling offense through some play action, the quarterback got the ball out of his hand quickly. They tried getting guys in space. Help! There were a couple runs that they broke, right? And yep, we could, you know, be really picky with the defense, but there were some things Grambling did well. So this isn't just a backyard scrimmage, you know, against a high school football team. I think Ohio State needs to learn from this. To your point, OU might be a legit football team. They should have beaten Rutgers in week one, should have at Rutgers. They dominated West Virginia this past weekend. And so you've got an offense that they like to go on the run. If anyone's watched Maction over the last couple of years, man, OU gets up to the ball. They snap it. They throw it all over the place. It is quick hitting stuff that kind of you saw from Grambling this past week a little bit. And so I think to your point, it's not going to be a walk in the park against OU. There's going to be a lot of things to learn from. And to your point, you got Washington, who's 2-0, and I forget who they beat yesterday, but I think they hung 70 on someone yesterday or Saturday, right? And then you also have Illinois coming up here in, you know, a month from now, whatever. And Illinois looked mighty, mighty competitive and great against Duke. And who knows how Duke is. But again, they dominated.
Yeah, that's going to be a difficult stretch there. We'll see what Wisconsin's doing. That's still a month down the road. But 3 out of 4 games on the road, this is why you have to make the most of this stretch of – you beat Grambling, then you have Ohio, and then the off week, you're ramping up to get to that point to be ready for the Big Ten slate. And as we switch over to the defense, I hope at some point we're able to get Buck IQ back going, Zach, and using the clips, because I feel like we would have a field day trying to decipher what Matt Patricia is cooking up every single week. Saturday, to me, it was, so last week we talked about Arvell Reese being at the line of scrimmage, dropping back, and then blitzing and getting the sack on Arch Manning. And then there was something new with Caleb Downs on Saturday against Grambling in a similar situation, and it leads to an interception. And I'm like, I got to pay attention to every single snap because I'm seeing new stuff every day.
Yeah, when I saw the interception, I'm like, I thought Caleb Downs at first was like lined up at the linebacker position, right? And I'm like, okay, well, that's a hell of a pick. And then I watched the replay in the stadium, and I'm like, oh, no, no, no. He was lined up over the guard, acted like he was coming, dropped back, and was able to make that interception. A hell of an athletic play. Yeah, I mean, you see Matt Patricia lining up Caleb Downs down in multiple spots. Last week, they just like Arvell Reese, they lined him up at defensive end. This week, they're going to line him up over the offensive guard and act like he's coming. Like, Matt Patricia is doing so many fun things with this defense that it's going to be so much fun discussing. And to your point, we could have a heyday with the clicker. One thing I will have to say is I think they dialed back things a little bit this week compared to what they were showing against Texas. And that's completely fine. Going against Grambling, you're going to play more of your base stuff. The one thing that's a little bit alarming Saturday compared to against Texas is the lack of pressure on the quarterback. There wasn't a ton of pressure on Grambling. Now, granted, they're smart. They tried getting their ball out quick, tried doing different things to keep the Ohio State defense kind of off balance without letting them pin their ears back and get after the quarterback. But that's one thing I think Ohio State needs to make sure that they're able to do. Granted, they did it against Texas, but we saw last year there was a stretch of time there in the middle of the year where Ohio State was struggling to get after the quarterback.
Yeah, I'm trying to walk the line with this stuff, Zach, with the pass rush and the pressure, because I feel like we've had this conversation like every September. We would say on the one hand, yes, it's vanilla. Ohio State is being like a little bit conservative, pulling the reins back on whether that was JT or Jack or whoever in the past. And we'd say, yeah, that's fine. And they're also not going to five-man pressures or they're not blitzing. But you should win one-on-one matchups is the thing that we would always say. It's like, that's why we can kind of, you know, put at least a finger on it and check the pulse. And so having learned from that, I'm trying not to overreact to a Grambling game. And I did see them getting the football out in quick game and like nice decisions and, yeah, and scheming around it. Maybe if we see something similar against Ohio, it becomes more of a trend. But at least against Grambling, I can kind of be like, yeah, that'd be nice if the sack totals were a little bit bigger. But I don't want to go down the same path that I've been before, where it's like it's this slow boil to get to that point where they're really cooking at the end of the year.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. And they got after Arch Manning against Texas. So to your point, we can't be the fans that, you know, change week to week just based off of the performance and form our opinion from that standpoint. But it's just. Here's the thing: when you're an Ohio State player, when you're a coach playing a team like Grambling, you get extremely picky, right? Against Texas, you're not perfect. You play a great game, in my opinion, but it's more so, hey, learn from the couple things and then move on and be super excited about the victory and all that. When you play a team like Grambling, it's almost on the flip side. Even though you win 70-0, you become extremely picky because you expect perfection against a team like that. And so it will be something that they talk about. I'm sure, you know, you even saw Ryan Day talk after the game about how he wasn't happy with everything. There were some things that could have been different. Heck, he was going after Bo Jackson up 63-0 when he fumbled the ball, you know, out of bounds. And so, right. I mean, I love it because it shows, I think it shows us that Ryan Day is demands perfection and has a standard that he wants upheld. And I think those are the steps that now you're seeing this football program go on from last year's run to this year. But, you know, they're going to nitpick things. That's what they're supposed to do against a team like Grambling, especially when you win 70-0.
So when I say this is week one 2.0, that meant there were a lot of opportunities for freshmen, for reserves to rotate. And we saw a lot of new faces out there, Zach. You can pick from anyone that you saw for the first time this season on Saturday. Who flashed for you?
Riley Pettijohn, obviously. You already said his name earlier. The dude's a stud, man. It goes back from the very first kickoff against Texas. It was the first play of the season. He ran down and just freaking unloaded on two Texas dudes, right? I think it just goes to show you the kind of dude he is, man. He wants to get his nose dirty, but then again, he's athletic to play in space, as you saw yesterday with the pass breakup. I am so excited about what he's going to be able to do in his Ohio State career. I thought he flashed. He was physical. Everything that you want out of a linebacker, I think he has. And I'm not, you know, hyping him up to be the next god around here, because I don't want to put that pressure on him. But when you see a freshman linebacker put his nose in the sternum of a running back and lift and get him off the ground and then drive him down to the ground, as you saw with Riley Pettijohn, unbelievable, right? When you see him have the instincts of finding the football and knowing, hey, read and react, right? I got to know where the ball is. Like, he's there all the time around the football. And that's the biggest thing about a linebacker. I think the biggest compliment anyone can get is they have a nose for the ball. And Riley Pettijohn has that. And you can see that, right? There's some guys that kind of look clueless. They're always like a half a step short or a step short. Riley Pettijohn is not that guy. So if he continues to build on what he's been doing through the first 2 weeks of his college career, there are some special, special things coming his way.
Yeah. I mean, even if you're just talking about building for the future, like, this is incredibly bright to look at the potential for what he can become. But like, James Laurinaitis he didn't specifically name him, but we can tell now the fourth game ready linebacker for Ohio State is Riley Pettijohn already. So you have Peyton Pierce, you have Arvell Reese, you have Sonny Styles. Like, it's not a necessity that Riley Pettijohn goes to play right now. But guess what? A year ago, it wasn't a necessity that Jeremiah Smith played for Ohio State. So when we've talked about Devin Sanchez being that instant impact freshman, we can see that. He got more reps again on Saturday. He got out there against Texas. Like, that's all happening. But there's at least an opening here, Zach, where Riley Pettijohn starts playing, I don't know, 15 or 20 snaps for Ohio State this year. Like, that's not outlandish.
No, I don't think it's outlandish, especially when you have a defense coordinator like Matt Patricia, who likes to rotate guys, who likes to put guys in different situations. I mean, it might be a very real thing when you go against a spread offense, whoever that is, when it's coming up, and you see four linebackers in the game, right? And they go to a 3-4 defense, or they go to a 2-4 defense, right? Where there's just two defensive linemen and they're moving four linebackers around to rush the quarterback, to play at the second level. Like, you could most definitely see that from a Matt Patricia defense. And I think once Riley Pettijohn showed what he could do on Saturday, those conversations might be happening more and more, because now the more game-like reps you have, and listen, here's one thing. You can do as much as you can in practice, right? And coaches build confidence around that. But when they see that translate from practice to a game, and it doesn't matter if it's against Grambling, Texas, whoever, when they see that stuff translate into game-like reps, that confidence goes skyrockets with them, yeah, right? And now they start to put more and more emphasis on, how do we get Riley Pettijohn in the game? How do we get Devin Sanchez in the game, right? Like, those conversations are happening if those guys are performing in game-like situations.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. Another big one, of course, coming Saturday in primetime against Ohio. But as we wrap up and put a little bow on a 70-0 win over Grambling, we got to get a 3-and-out on the Boren Blitz. And again, you have so many options available to you, Zach.
So many options. I'm going to go this is my thing, so I can be as creative as I want with this, right?
Absolutely it is, yeah.
Correct, correct. That is correct. Julian Sain and Jeremiah Smith together. Okay. broke a record, I think, for the longest touchdown pass in Ohio State football history, I believe.
Second longest. It is the longest in the horseshoe, because you had Kenny Guyton to Devin Smith for 90 yards at Cal. I believe that was in 2013.
Okay, got it. Okay, well, in the shoe, right?
Your guy, so Kenny Guyton.
I love Kenny G. Great dude.
Me too. Me too.
So those two guys, the way that they were able to come together, connect so many times, all around great performances. We could talk for hours about those two and how excited we are to see them continue to develop as the year goes on. Next guy I'm going to go with is Carnell Tate. And the whole reason why I'm going to bring up Carnell Tate is because it goes back to what the conversation was last year, again this year. Somehow, some way, the guy gets overlooked. And I understand how he gets overlooked because of Jeremiah Smith, because of all the other weapons in that wide receiver room. But Carnell Tate, with the big catch last week and then what he was able to do this week, it's almost like when the ball is there anywhere in the vicinity, the dude makes it. That catch that he had in the end zone happened right in front of me. And I'm like, I don't think people realize how hard of a catch that was.
Right.
It's insane, right? And he makes it look effortless. And so the other catch on his post route going down the middle, great catch, right? Like the Grambling guys were all over him. Like it's a contested catch. And so I want to give love to Carnell Tate. I think he deserves it. Unbelievable what he's been doing, and especially keeping his mind right with Jeremiah Smith getting all the love, and for him to stay grounded, for him to go out and continue to work and make the plays. Hats off to him. And then another star, man, got to be Riley Pettijohn. And I'm just going to say that because, you know, we talked about how he could get more and more reps as the year goes on. Do I think that's going to happen? Maybe, but probably not, because I think, you know, Peyton Pierce, Sonny Styles, Arvell Reese are so talented. That's going to be hard to break that unless, like I said, they go to a 3-4 look against a spread team, a 2-4 look against a spread team, whatever that might be. And so for him to show up and do that, I think he deserves love. There's going to be so many other times to give love to those other guys as the year goes on. I thought the entire defense, again, tackled pretty well, but Riley Pettijohn, man, when you put your nose in the middle of a running back and you're not scared of contact and you get someone off the ground and you lay a hit like he did, by all means, man, I know you're a freshman, but Buckeye Nation could not be more excited for what the future holds for you, for what you're going to do at Ohio State. So keep on building on it.
Yeah, lots to build on. Ryan Days continues to call that the race to get better. It is into the third week of it now, as the Buckeyes get ready for the Bobcats, a prime time showdown, battle for Ohio. Looking forward to that one, and looking forward to a week from now when we get Zach Bourne back in here for another Bourne Blitz to break it down. It's been fun talking about ball again with Zach, and Ohio State off to a great start, 2-0 with that 70-0 win over Grambling in the bag. We'll have a lot more to break down throughout the week. We'll be at Roosters for a conversation with the live show in Tansky Power Sports later on Monday. We will have a talk on Tuesday to get ready for Ryan Day's press conference then, and everything else that you've come to expect from the Austin and Berm show at 97.1 The Fan, 10TV, and 10TV Plus. This, though, has been a Bourne Blitz on the Monday. Thanks to Zach Bourne. I am Austin Ward. We will catch you next time.